You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
My name is Dan Johnson, and his name is Mr. Jason, and this morning he will be molding the future, I don't know, Americans? Is that what you're doing over there as a substitute?
I guess it's kind of that's what it is. Some days I'm one-on-one, some days I have several, you know. Yesterday I was in a bilingual class, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you speak Spanish?
No.
Oh, okay.
And you know, a lot of people ask, like, you know, since I own a landscape business, like, why I don't speak Spanish. I probably should, because, I mean, I've always been in the construction industry, you know, for years. So, I'll probably learn real quick here.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids, they speak some English, you know, but not a ton. So, day to day, I don't know what I'm going to get into.
Yeah. So, funny story here. I'm on a field trip, and there's two Spanish kids along with another, like, I don't know. He's not Spanish. He's like, he might be like a, he's just like a regular kid. I don't know. Maybe mixed or something like that. Anyway, what I'm getting at is they were saying bad words in Spanish, and I knew that. Mm-hmm. Right. And they were saying out loud, and the teacher would look at him. The teacher must not have known exactly what they were saying. And I did. And I don't know, like, as a volunteer, I don't know what I'm supposed to do and not do as a, you know, I'm obviously not going to sit there and punish them, but I look over and I go, I don't want to hear that again. And their eyes got big, and they looked at each other like, this guy knows Spanish. And I knew the one kid because he was on my football team, and I'm just like, I don't want to hear that come out of your mouth again. And he's like, you know, because I think some of these kids, they get away with talking trash to the teachers, you know, in different languages because the teachers don't know
for sure.
So,
absolutely. Because so yesterday it was two separate classes, and the second class in the afternoon came in, and these are preschoolers. Okay, so keep this in mind. And they come in, and I asked the teacher. I said, "So this second class, they're not as proficient in English." And she says, "No, actually, these ones are better." You know, and as these kids came in, I was looking at them and I was trying to talk to them, and they looked at me like I was completely nuts with what I was saying, you know, like they didn't understand me. And, you know, so I think there is a little bit of game playing with it that does happen, especially, you know, it's for sure. And I remember back when I was in the operators union, and we would pave roads and stuff, and we'd have these guys haul hot mix to us and whatever. And there was a couple Spanish guys, you know, that we were really good buddies with, and we would joke around with, and we'd always ask them, you know, what this meant or what that meant. you know, but truthfully, I never knew what they were giving us. You know, they, I mean, we could have been saying all sorts of stuff, but
right.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, I really don't know what today even brings. You know, I signed up for 4 days this week. So yesterday through Thursday, I'm actually going to go hunt Friday. So, yeah. But yeah, last week I worked every day and I was in everything from preschool to I think fifth or sixth grade. So
yeah. I gotcha. Yeah, that's cool, man. I don't know. There's a little, after hearing what it is you do, a couple things kind of popped into my head. One, dude, we used to be brutal to substitute teachers. Like the substitute teacher when we were growing up would come in and they would do one of two things. One, they would really try, right? And usually they were younger substitute teachers who were just trying to get their foot in the door with a teaching job somewhere. And they would be like, all right, guys, real enthusiastic, trying to really relate to the kids. The kids are obviously, they don't want to be right. related to. You're an authority figure and we hate you type of deal.
Right.
And then you had the other substitute teachers who were the kind of substitute teachers all right, we're going to play a movie today. And they were just there to check a box.
Yeah.
Right. So, yep. You know, and so, you know, I don't know. We were pretty brutal. The one instance the substitute teacher came into the room and we had these chairs that we could lick our fingers and we could rub the book holder underneath of the chair. There was a basket where you could put books underneath of it. And you can rub that bar and it would make a humming noise, like a hum.
Yeah.
It would, from the vibration. And the teacher was like, what is that noise? And one kid in our class, he's just like, dude, it's probably the lights. Why don't you shut the lights off and see what happens? Shuts the lights off and we all stop doing it. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then people would be like, dude, I can't see very well. It turns the lights back on at home. We'd have a couple kids rub the desk. And so it would vibrate again. So she calls the maintenance guy to the room and the maintenance guy is like looking at, and he's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like we were doing the same thing to him. Another teacher came in the room and she goes, everybody put your hands on the desk right now. So everybody had to put their hands on the desk. She turns the lights on and she's like, stop fucking around. And then she left. And then the teacher was like pissed at us because we took advantage of her. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
We were brutal as subs.
There's days where you can definitely tell some kids still try to do that. But for the most part, a lot of these kids, you know, they remember you day in and day out, you know, so these little kids, they'll come up, they'll wrap their arm around you or whatever, you know, give you a hug.
Yeah, that's and, like, the rewarding appreciation. Part.
It really is, you know, because you don't know what they go home to, you know, especially where I'm subbing like the last couple of weeks, it's a bigger city. So there's several hundreds of kids that, you know, come in and go, but it's challenging at times, but you know, it's been fun, I guess, and rewarding. Yeah. You just don't know, like I say, you don't know what you're going to encounter each day. So
that's why I like coaching is because I don't know, this sounds weird. This may sound weird, but there's kids who the best part of their day is going to school, getting away from what's going on at home or in their life. Or they maybe have a shit parent who just screams at them all day or puts them on a device. I had a couple kids, one kid in particular who, he was on the football team and I'm not joking. From the second I could hear his mom get out of the car, she was chewing his ass about every little thing that this kid did, just chewing his ass. Yeah. You got to do this. You got to do this. And the kid comes to practice and no one's yelling at him.
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody's yelling at him and we're encouraging him and things like that. Then a second practice, get your water bottle, get in the damn car. Let's go, blah, blah, blah. And no wonder this kid is like, I guess you would call it like his mom's like, well, he's got ADHD and he's got this and he's got this. And so he don't listen. And I'm just like, well, he listens for me. Have you tried being nice?
Yeah. Oh, I for sure, man. I realized, like, especially with football, because there's so many towns and then such a big city that the kids play football in, is that a lot of it for them is just simply daycare. Those parents, they go from school or babysitting to a sport or whatever, just so they have another couple hours to do whatever it is they want to do. That's what I guess kind of gets me going back each day is, each struggle each kid has. I mean, somebody's always fighting a battle or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you can make a little bit of an impact in a good way, I mean, man, I don't know. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Especially for me, I don't have anything really going on during the winter. So if this is just a little, I don't know, cash flow and
yep.
a little entertainment to some extent. You know, the couple things that I take away from it is, boy, a lot of the staff, they're super awesome with you because they're just glad that somebody else is there to take a load off, you know, mm-hmm. but they want to know your whole story, you know? So like I tell them, I'm like, dude, I got five kids at home. I got a sixth yep. on the way, you know, I got a joint two family deal going on, yep. and they're like, holy cow. I'm like, yeah, this is easy for me, you know, but, the sad things, you know, come with like these kids that come from these broken homes or there's no father in the house and stuff, you know, but the other sad part is, Dan, holy cow, how much food gets wasted in the school systems.
Oh, dude.
I mean, these kids, they get their trays and they don't touch a thing. You know, I mean, I'm watching all this food just get dumped, all this milk just get dumped. And it's just, I don't know, it's just sad how many countries we could probably feed with what we're throwing away.
Or giving that, some of that food to kids to take home or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think when I was going to school, kids ate what was on their plate or they went hungry.
Right.
And there was no options. There was no like, I want this or this. Because at my son's school, they have options. You get one of two choices.
Yeah.
You get this or this. Dude, if it was lasagna day, it was lasagna day. And that's what you ate was lasagna. And you had your milk. And then on Fridays, you got chocolate milk. And that was it. And you'd have green beans or corn or peas. And that was it. Like, and then if
a lot of these schools, they have hot lunch, they have a cold lunch, or they have like an Uncrustable, you know, so you have three options just with school. And that doesn't include the bag lunch that you could bring from home. I mean, that's all I grew up on was a sack paper bag lunch every day until I got into high school. And then it was like, see who, if I could run into my brother to steal some money from him so I could go through the a la carte, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just changed. And it's sad that all that food gets dumped out like that. I mean, they could be taking that to the homeless shelter or something. There's got to be something different to do with it.
But, yeah. I don't know,
hey,
man.
There's probably some laws.
There's probably some laws against
there
it.
There is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
All right. Well, this isn't the how to teach kids podcast. This is the how to hunt deer podcast. And so before we got roughly 20 minutes. Now to talk about deer, because we're on short time. You got to get to school and I got to get kids to the bus stop this morning. We had a little bit of a schedule change. Let's run through these partnerships real quick and then we'll get to the deer talk.
Yeah. Code Blue Sense. It's by far my favorite to use. Like I say, every week, you know, if you can buy the Rope-A-Dope kit and get that set up early, especially it doesn't hurt to get that deer condition to it, you know, in the springtime or summertime, as soon as you can get in the woods, you know, get a rope out there and let them get accustomed to it. And then, you know, with the winter time, you know, it's kind of weird because you think you don't have to wash your gear as much, you know, but your base layers, they're always getting stinky, you know, so they have a detergent and they have the sprays that you need to keep your stuff, you know, while it's in totes or whatever. So it doesn't have any odor on it. And then they also have, you know, all the estrus and buck urine and everything that you could use with it. So I would check out Code Blue Sense.
Yep. So real and synthetic deer lures, they have like scent elimination products and then like our favorite is the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit that comes with, and that would be a great stocking stuffer for this time of year. I'll tell you this, Code Blue is running a ton of discounts on their products between now and Christmas. So go to codebluesense.com and enter the discount code HTH20 for 20% off. All right. Muddy DV8, what do we got going on there?
So Muddy's got apparel, obviously from base layers to basically, I would look at it as maybe into that rut time frame. You know, they don't have the big, bulky, heavy weight, you know, for cold, extreme temperatures, but, you know, they carry boots as well. And they have awesome camo patterns, obviously, with the bottomlands and stuff. Just a full from head to toe. I would definitely check it out because even with something like that, you know, you could start with buying. I mean, I remember back in the day, I would always buy like base layers 1 year, and then the next year I might buy my midsection, you know, so I'm not breaking the bank as well.
Right.
So I would go to muddygo.com and check them
go
out.
Muddy.
Or Go Muddy, I'm sorry.
Yep, GoMuddy.com. And the cool thing is I had a conversation a couple days ago with the director of marketing over there, and they're going to be launching some brand new items here this spring. So they have the Ambush series. They have, like you said, pretty much from warm to hot weather all the way up to this Midwestern, I would say what they have now can get a guy who hunts in the South through the entire winter.
Right.
And then probably through the first week in November up in the Midwest, unless you like hunt in northern, you know, northern Canada or northern Wisconsin or something like that. So
yeah,
go check that out. GoMuddy.com. Click on the footwear and apparel line. We are in Iowa. We're in the second shotgun season now.
Okay.
And there's deer on camera all over the place. My number two buck, who I told you has the split G3, he's still walking around, or not the split G3, the broken G3. He's still walking around. I want to go hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a dilemma really. It's just like, I want to go hunting, but I have like one little family issue that we're trying to resolve with my oldest boy, like some things he's going through that we're trying to sit here and resolve, with some doctor's appointments and stuff. And then volunteering through work and volunteering with wrestling and then working and then all these other things. And I'm sitting here just trying to be like, if I went hunting for 2 days right now, I would put a ton of weight on my family that I usually take care of, right? And it sucks because I don't have any hunting properties close. And all I want to do is take my 350 Legend out and go shoot a doe. That's mm-hmm. all I want to do. But it's very hard to find access around here. So in order to do that, I have to go to the only other place that I have permission during the second shotgun season. And that's at that farm that I was talking about. That's 3 hours away.
Right.
And, you know, in the wintertime, in the temperatures don't seem to be too bad coming up the rest of this week.
Yeah. We got a couple of weeks of fairly warm, I would say, compared to what we have been. So
cold mornings, warm afternoons, like what, 35 to 38 degrees, depending on what part of the Midwest you're from. I know that out east, right now, I think they're getting the cold temps and the snow, but that's all going to go away here in the next, you know, handful of days as this warm front moves through.
Yeah.
What have you seen in a scenario like this over the years where it's been cold, like we're coming off brutally cold temps where it was the high of 2 on Sunday, and now we're getting into the high of 38 today. What have you seen on a warming trend this time of year? Any experience or anything you've noticed?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen it go both ways. You know, obviously when you get the extreme cold and the snowpack like we've had, you know, deer will be on their feet a little bit earlier and they're going to be hitting food, you know, because they start to sense that, you know, gosh, I gotta replenish what I went through in the fall. Mm-hmm. But you also have kind of sometimes with that warm up, you actually will get more deer spread out, you know, mm-hmm. so you may technically see more deer that way. They're just not going to be as concentrated or herded up, you know, yarded up as some people call it. So I wouldn't necessarily say season's over one way or the other. You know, I had a conversation with my brother this weekend and he seems to think like this past weekend was the coldest spell that we're going to have until the end of Illinois' archery season, which doesn't come until like basically the middle of January. I don't know if I agree with it or not. I mean, we've got forecasts I'm looking at is mid to upper 30s through the next 14 days, one or two shots of rain. So I'm probably personally going to take advantage of, hey, we got a warm-up that started yesterday and today, and we're going to have that warm-up into Thursday. Thursday is supposed to be like 44 here in a pretty decent amount of rain. And then Friday, we're going to dip down to where we're about 22. So I'm going to go out Friday afternoon and in hopes of not only did the snowpack and the cold weathers from the previous week get deer, you know, a little nervous about food supply and everything, but then we have a front that comes in the mix of temperatures just going up and down, and then you get that rain. That rain will, I mean, it's going to freeze overnight too, you know, so you're going to have a rain that freezes that stuff, and the snow is going to be that much harder. So I'm looking at Friday as being a decent day, and if I play my cards right, I don't know if you can see them.
Oh, that's a great buck.
So that's the one I sent you a picture of. Now he's making daylight, you know, and it's kind of weird because, you know, you'd think that you'd be looking for that daylight picture in November. But I've got him daily now where he's coming out of the same spot to feed. So he's comfortable and everything. And he's a really nice buck. I got his sheds from last year and stuff. So my theory is that, you know, they've been unpressured on that property because in Illinois here, we've been through both gun seasons. And then this past weekend, we had our muzzleloader season here. So
yeah,
I'm giving them, you know, yesterday through Thursday, basically have no pressure on that ground. And I haven't been there since, well, it'll end up being a little over 2 weeks by the time I am there on Friday. So
yeah. Here is something cool, if you catch it right, that I've kind of observed over the years. Now, maybe this is, again, what I'm about to say is just what I've observed over my farms, okay? So when you have brutally cold temps, and we had that paired with a lot of snow where we're at, obviously down south, it's not the same because you don't have the snow, and that means they're not grouping up over top of a food source unless you're in, from what I've understood, is if you're in like pine country where there's just a ton of pine trees, and then you know, this late season, all the grass is dead, or the grass or the vegetation down low is dead, then they're looking for ag or food plots or things like that, or thick cover with the low to the ground high stem counts. And so what I've noticed here in Iowa is we have all the snow, we had this brutal temps. And in the past, a warming trend means they will disperse. But the first couple days, they're still going to be this time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Together. And what they're going to do is they're going to hit any exposed grass on the ground or any exposed potentially acorns left over from that. And so my trail cameras are telling me right now, over the past couple days on that farm I was just talking about, I've noticed that the snow is melting in a spot, and wherever that snow melts first is where they're going to congregate and kind of hang out before they go to the ag fields. So it's almost like pasture or green food plots, or if you have a brassica food plot where now that plant has frozen and they could potentially be going to the bulbs of the turnip bulbs or the radish bulbs or whatever you have. The top ends have froze now, and now they've become sugary and sweet to the deer. That's a potential option. Any clover food plot that has been buried for a couple weeks now and that starts to expose itself, that's a great source of protein for them. And so I would... And this is just a gut feeling. I'm not a professional at what deer do, but I've noticed deer coming off grains like corn and beans and going to green greens if they're available.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
In that warm-up, yeah, for sure.
In that warm-up period.
Yep. One other thing I was thinking about, you know, so I don't know if I've talked about it before, but we have cows here at home, and then we have a horse. And it's amazing. My kids, they're always like, why do they drink so much water during the winter? You know, but if you actually pay attention to it, they do drink just as much or more, especially on those cold days, of water. So my thought kind of too is, with a warm up, we were dry in the fall. So with this warm up, we're going to have a melt and everything that maybe it replenishes some water in some of these creeks or little pockets that, hey, that might be an option as well. You know, especially if you can pair that with maybe an oak flat, or, you know, you knew where there was decent acorns. I think if you put all that stuff together, you could still use the strategy. It's just, it changes a little bit to like what you're saying. You know, once that warm up hits, those deer may still be together, but they may move in a different direction because they see greener pastures.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And then obviously spreading back out again until the next snow event or hard freeze or something like that. One thing that I've hope doesn't happen, and I don't think it's going to this time, but we had a thaw followed by an extremely hard freeze, and then it stayed below freezing for several weeks. Well, in one of the areas that I hunt, the ground froze, and that means all the grain waste and everything on the ground froze. Yeah. And deer were starting to die at the end of the winter because of they couldn't get the food out of the ground because it was frozen there. So no matter how hard they would paw at it, it was almost like they were spending more energy trying to get the food out of the ground than what the food was actually going to provide for them.
Yep.
And so you would walk into the timber and there'd be a lot of beds on the ground. You could see these beds. And then all around them, you could tell the deer were starting to strip bark off of the trees or eat twigs, like hard wood. And that's the last, from my understanding, that's a last resort for deer to get some kind of substance into their body. So in certain scenarios like that, and this is where you got to be careful for, is, you know, a lot of guys will throw a pile of corn out. And they'll say, well, I'm just feeding the deer. Well, that's in the Midwest, that's probably not a problem, right? Being able to throw corn out to help deer make it through the winter or to get deer to step in to a trail camera, depending on what your state rules and regulations are. Now, if you throw in the cold temps, from my understanding, or well, it's not from my understanding, I've been told this through if a deer survives because of a corn pile you left, then there's a problem with their habitat.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's a problem with their habitat where there can't be enough food for them. And what happens is something happens to deer that are not used to eating corn. Their stomach, something happens in their stomach, and feeding off the corn will actually kill them. If they're just eating corn and they've never eaten corn before, and all of a sudden, boom, they have all this corn in their stomachs, and it actually has a negative effect, and it could possibly kill them. And so, I would, if you want to find out more information about what I just said, I believe the National Deer Association has information about that. So go check that out.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious as well here, because I wasn't able to put any corn or beans in at home specifically. Yeah. So my food plots were, you know, they were all green, you know, pastures and stuff. And there was seven different food plots. So there's seven different varieties. But what's odd about it to me, and I'm just saying off of my property specifically here at home, it seemed like it was an early rut. And then there was this massive amount of activity all up until maybe the 7th of November. And then the deer just left and trail cameras went dead. So I'm kind of curious with this warm up, if these deer come back into here since there's all this green, you know, if they've remembered that, hey, we left that reserve over there. But it's hard to say, you know, each year, you know, we try to do different food plots to see what deer are going to eat, what they like, what they prefer. But, you know, weather trumps so much of that as far as planning food plots too. So.
Yeah. If you are in a firearm season and you're hunting public, because oftentimes we talk about the private world, but I want to talk about public here just for a second. I would be heavily looking at your digital maps, right? Your Onyx, whatever brand of digital map you use, your hunt stands. And you're saying, oh, well, I want to get out and I want to shoot one more deer, but I got to do it on public because that's how I hunt. That's where I hunt. I would be checking the edges of public, unless, like, here in Iowa, the public hunting land that's close enough to, that's close to my house has standing crops in it. Mm-hmm. And that means that deer and pheasants and turkey can come to there and eat, you know, eat that throughout the winter. However, some places don't have that. And if you're trying to get out, I would get in there and be looking for any agriculture that borders that and find a way to get in there and just set down and see if any deer come to that private egg or that private food source or things like that. And in the past, I've even gone as far as going to Google Earth and zooming in as much as I could and looking for box blinds, because box blinds means deer hunting, and deer hunting means there's deer there. And so if you can border up on public and find that good access into public and catch them going from public or private to public, or from public to private, and then in the morning maybe back into that bedding, then that's not a bad idea. And you can catch deer. You can catch deer doing that. You know, like this time of year. And I think I've gotten to the point now where I've come to the realization where I don't think I'm going to be going after another buck. I just don't have the time to go do that. And I'm if I do go, which honestly, it's not on the top of my priority list. It's going to be the first deer that walks by. Hopefully it's a doe, shoot it, take it to the processor, and then put her in the freezer.
Yeah. I'm going to put a little time in, but not a lot. You know, I'm going to give this deer a couple days and then that's about it. You know, I went once in hopes of seeing him. I didn't see him. I'm going to go this Friday. But beyond that, for me, any hunt that I have now, I mean, with the meat that we have in the freezer, any hunt I have now is more or less a scouting mission. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to identify where deer are coming and going from in this particular weather at this time of the year, you know, and I put that all together in a catalog of, you know, this spot is good with corn or with beans for a December or January hunt with snow and cold temps. And then, you know, we just file that, just remember that, catalog that in your memory bank, you know, because there's certain areas that, like here at home, the deer leave and now we have no options of hunting any deer. So let me ask this real quick here, do you see any benefit of doing any scouting right now or any habitat right now when we get this warm up in temperatures?
You mean habitat improvement?
Management. Improvement.
I think I'm going to wait. Mm-hmm. I would wait on that, dude, just because the deer have been moving. The deer have been running. Like, if you're not hunting them, just give them a break for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, granted, you can do whatever you want. And coyotes bump deer all year. People bump deer all year. In Iowa right now, there's gun drives, you know, deer drives going on every single day. And they're bouncing around from property to property and things like that. I just feel like if you're not actively hunting them, just let them get through the winter. I don't think there's anything, like me personally, what's hinge cutting going to do right now? What is any type of hardcore management practice going to do right now, other than potentially create some thermal cover? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But
do you see any benefit in scouting?
Yeah. I mean, if you're tagged out, go scout, dude. That's, yeah. I mean, there's no better time to scout than right now with the snow on the ground, and you can look at the trails through the terrain features and just be like, okay, you memory bank that, and then you get a tree stand up or a blind or whatever where you see that, because right. in the snow tells you exactly where a deer walks, and sometimes that trail is not noticeable in the other months of the year.
Yep.
You know, so something to take into consideration.
Yep.
So, outside of that, I'm trying to think. The other thing I just wanted to mention about like hunting warming trends is sometimes after a really cold period of time, I don't know if I've seen it in, especially when there's a lot of sun and it comes off of this extreme cold front. One thing that I've noticed is deer, they just want to just almost stand up and stretch because they've been bedded down all week or whatever. And they just want to be on their feet and kind of move around a little bit, be in the sun, you know, maybe browse. And they're not bedded down as much as you would think, even this time of year, even with warmer temps.
Well, I mean, look at us as humans, you know, if we're trapped inside because it's so frigid for three or four days on end, you know, the first thing we're going to want to do when it warms up to 35, 40 degrees is get out and stretch the legs a little bit or, you know, just enjoy the sun, take in, you know, a little bit of sunshine too. So,
yep. Absolutely.
I think there's plenty of season left for the guys that haven't had, you know, a chance to fill a tag yet. So,
Yeah, I gotta figure something out for next year. And just like, I think one of my major issues, Jason, is that I don't schedule anything late season. If I scheduled it, I think I could get away with more hunting, but I don't, sure. I never schedule anything late season because I'm traditionally just archery, right? Yeah. And I want to go shoot a late season deer or spend time shooting my muzzleloader or, you know, my 350 Legend or whatever the case is, but I just never schedule it. So it's something that next year I got to really think about, like, okay, I'm scheduling this trip or I'm scheduling this time to hunt.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something to think about because, you know, especially with the cold temperatures and stuff like that, if you forced yourself to go out for 5 to 7 days and endure it, you know, you might take away something different from it, you know, a whole different experience than other than just hunting the whitetail rut, you know?
Yeah. So. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else we need to talk about today before you go create America's next leaders?
If I can find the right leader, I guess that'd be the goal for today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have anything else other than, you know, we're coming into a time of year with, you know, Christmas and stuff. And I think sometimes we forget the whole meaning of it. And there's so much gift giving and all that, that I think we could just enjoy each other and just be a better human being and enjoy that gift.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my friend, good vibes in, good vibes out. Have a good day, Jason. All right. To all of the listeners of this podcast, if you want to give us a Christmas gift, I know what you can get us. You can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you download this podcast and give us a review. Give us a 5-star review. Let us know how much you appreciate this show. And what that does is it actually helps get more people to come and listen to this. The more people that come and listen to this, the more time and energy that we can dedicate to this. And we can have some really cool things happen with this show. And that's the end goal with all that, is to keep bringing good conversation, content, entertainment, and education to your ears about deer hunting. So have a good one. Be safe out there. If you're going to hunt, wear your Blaze Orange, wear your safety harness, and we'll talk to you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence.
helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Enjoy complimentary access to the American Express Global Lounge Collection and a welcome offer of 200,000 points after you spend $20,000 on purchases on the card within your first 3 months of membership. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.